another guest this evening, who is a businessman. He's a communications and media specialist and also a well-known social issues commentator on television, on our station from time to time, and also a great writer as well. I enjoy reading his opinion pieces. Shane Tupou. Kia ora, Shane. Welcome to you this evening.
Kia ora, Merepeka. Merepeka, can I just, before we talk about politics, can I just pick up on your comments that you've just made in terms of the terrible loss of life that happened in Wellington? You know, Merepeka, here's the sad reality. There are dozens, if not hundreds, of similar facilities throughout Aotearoa that house those that have really had a tough life. And quite frankly, we know they're not up to standard. You know, I think we've got to have a real investigation in terms of the health and safety mechanisms, fire safety mechanisms that were or were not in place in Wellington. But Merepeka, not far from the where Radio Wāti is based, there's an old hospital that is called Mangere Psychiatric Hospital. And there are lodges on there that house similar people, similar vulnerable people that from time to time we read about in the newspaper that are inadequate, that are often overpriced, often being paid subsidies through government agencies, and are inadequate in terms of warmth, provisions of warmth, of hygiene, and of safety standards. And it's just by the grace of God, not good planning, that we haven't suffered more of these tragedies. It's a major issue throughout Aotearoa.
You know, you are so right, Shane. We've got we had one here in Rotorua, and the service provider changed, and this woman walked in, took one look around, closed the place down, and she said it's not safe. She said it's not safe for the occupants. And she said, and also you've got a whole mix of people with different needs all in together, all lodging, you know, different rooms and lodging in this facility. And she said it's an absolute danger for the staff as well, for the support workers as well. So she shut it down. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, you can't do that. We need to put them somewhere. Mm. Well, yes, I tell you, but you don't want to put them somewhere where their health and their safety is going to be compromised as well as the support workers as well. And you're so right. It's a shocking state of affairs. And when I looked today and I heard everybody, I saw them all, as you did, I'm sure, Shane, you know, gathering around the Prime Minister and gathering around the Mayor of Wellington, and you know, woe is us and woe is me and everything. Well, woe is the poor buggers that have been bloody have had to lodge in those sort of facilities.
This all started, Merepeka, when we deinstitutionalized what we used to call mental health hospitals. You know, like Lake Alice, King Seat. You know, and I. In my union days, I used to visit those facilities. They were horrible. But what we didn't put in place for many of the folks that were dislodged was adequate community-based homes. And, you know, and I just think if we had a different attitude and we had handed those services way back then to the places that, you know, deliver in times of crisis, like the Manuka Urban Māori Authority, like Waipareira Trust, I think we would have a totally different scenario. And hopefully, the learnings we get out of this, Merepeka, is let's recalibrate and let's ensure that folks live in safe, warm, healthy, hygienic environments, no matter what their complex needs are. And I think that's the key words: their needs are very complex.
Oh, yes, they certainly are. And then when I look at, you know, I just look at the accommodation, I think I wouldn't want a family member of mine living in some of these, you know, lodgings. I wouldn't like that, Shane. And why should people have to rough it? And that's really what so many of them are doing. They're roughing it in accommodation where a provider is being paid to provide warm, safe accommodation. And that's certainly not what so many of them are getting.
I think we've got to be very careful, but I would suggest, Merepeka, that provider in Wellington received hundreds of thousands of of housing supplement and payments through the government and through those systems. And I think what needs to be attached to funding is responsibility, accountability, auditing, and I'm not just talking about financial. More importantly, I'm talking about health, safety, and warmth. The fundamentals of life.
Exactly. Yeah. Look, while we're talking about significant issues, can I just ask you, something occurred to me today when I heard that the woman, and she was the mother of the two children in Ruakaka, she'd been arrested. Now, look, that's a tragedy as well, absolutely. But do you remember the woman in Timaru, a South African woman? And well, she wasn't charged. See, this woman in Ruakaka, she's been charged within 24 hours. Now, the woman in Timaru, of course, I mean, you know, I mean, every situation is different. But then I thought to myself, now she's been sectioned under, you know, for observation and under, you know, all of that sort of thing. And I'm not quite sure when she's coming up. But now I thought, now how come one has been charged? Well, I suppose I really do know. One has been charged and one hasn't. And we do know that the woman in Ruakaka wasn't well, had mental health issues, you know. And I thought, you know, that's another area where it looked like a blatant, well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And, you know, it's been a sad week, eh, Merepeka, with what happened in Wellington and what happened to those those tamariki. I think, Merepeka, maybe I can just say this, that perhaps it's a holding charge and that, you know, that keeps her under, you know, it's a holding charge, and I think that in the fullness of time we'll see that they will take more of a mental health approach rather than a criminal approach. But just so sad, two babies gone, and a very sad week for us all.
Well, it is a sad week. It absolutely is. And of course, the cave, Abbey Cave, that was sad. And, you know, your young child goes off to enjoy himself and then he doesn't come home. So you're right. And we never know what's around the corner, do we, Shane?
We don't, hey. But, you know, I just, just feel for that whānau. But Merepeka, I think there's something fundamentally went wrong there. There was a weather warning issued, and I would have thought the last place you would take anybody, let alone young, you know, young adolescent adults, is to a cave that is prone just of the very nature to flood when a warning had been issued. And I think there's a fundamental health and safety breach, and I think that sadness will rightfully turn to anger, and a lot of people will need to be held to account over this, because again, Merepeka, you know, last night we don't know how many people have been killed in Wellington. We don't know whether it's 6 or 10, but you know, we lost one poor young person in Whangarei. It could have easily been 14, 15, 16, 17.
That is easily. Actually right.
But it didn't happen by good fortune, not good management, just good fortune.
Yeah. Shouldn't have been there in the first place. Absolutely. No, yeah. So hopefully we've got something to look forward to on Thursday in the budget. I mean, our Minister of Finance, Grant Robertson, has already said, I don't think he said it was going to be an austere budget, but he certainly said it's going to be prudent. It's going to be a budget, a cautious, because obviously Cyclone Gabriel, the impacts there are severe, and money will have to go to the recovery. But is there something that you would like to see, one or two things that you would definitely hope might be included in the budget, Shane?
Absolutely. I would like to see some real and proper relief for young families in terms of childcare, in terms of better subsidies. But I think it needs to be better delivered. Merepeka, I wrote about this, I think, 5 or 6 weeks ago. I think there is a scam going on in the ECE, Early Childhood Education Program, where fundamentally very few providers are making literally millions of dollars profit out of the early childhood sector. So what happens is the government pays these providers millions of dollars, and on top of that, the parents pay hundreds of thousands of dollars collectively, and there are private providers out there. One private provider earns more than the total kohanga reo network throughout Aotearoa New Zealand. And so I am hoping for Pūtea to help whānau out through early childhood education, but I don't want it directed into the hands of those that provide those services for profit and are making millions of dollars per year in profit. But I fear that system is so entrenched, it's very hard, if not impossible, to unwind.
Yeah, well, you're right. It's like some of those providers who provide elder care, and I mean, that again, you know, that is actually big business. That's big business, and you're quite right. The early childhood education centres, again, same with them as well. And very little of it, of course, goes to our tamariki Māori or to our older kaumātua and queer. So you're right. You've got to have some equity here. You really have to. And it's
so that's what I'm hoping for, Merepeka. I'd also like to see the continuation in terms of half price public transport. I know that's probably more important of an issue in places like Tamaki Makaurau, where you've got greater numbers and greater provision of public transport. And also, continuation in terms of the relief at the petrol bowsers. I'd like to think that we're going to have big issues addressed, like the massive profits that banks are making in tough times, that our electricity providers are making in tough times, our supermarkets are making in tough times. You know, everyone's doing it tough except these multinational companies, and they tend to be overseas based. I think there's just something perversely wrong in a so-called recession when these multinational companies are making record profits, Merepeka. It just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Well, you're right, because those multinational companies, we're actually the New Zealand citizen through what they pay, whether it's the banks, petrol, electricity, we're contributing to the economy of those multinational countries where they're based. We're contributing to the economy of those countries, and it's been taken out of New Zealand over there. I mean, particularly if you look at the banks. New Zealand banker is contributing to the economy and the well-being of Australians because we're banking with those Australian banks.
Well, because there's no one else out there. You know, we try to set up an alternative in terms of Kiwi Bank, but that's been undercapitalised. They don't provide mortgages because they just don't have the capital base to do that. But you know, our four big banks are based in Australia, and. And as I say, Merepeka, they're not just making profit; they're making mega profits. And you know, it's this, and they call themselves business leaders. And every time the poor old minimum wage goes up, they complain. They say that's causing inflation. But the reality is that inflation there are several factors that cause inflation, and one of them are the super profits. We're not talking about an 8% return on investment, which is sort of to be expected. We're talking about 18, 20, 22%. And particularly when we have a look at our supermarkets, there are two providers, very little choice. And so, you know, if you live in a place like Rotorua, you're going to go to either Countdown or you're going to go to a Pack and Save. You don't have that much blinking choice. And you know, they're making 18 to 20% plus profits.
I know, and you know, and that's why the cost of living now, people are just, it really is. I mean, after people pay either their mortgage or their rent, you know, there's precious little left. I mean, well, there's certainly no discretionary dollars these days.
No, there isn't. But you know, Merepeka, What I am noticing, and you know, I'm turning 57 this year, and what I've noticed is that the divide between the haves and the have-nots are only getting bigger.
Yeah.
And that and that you know, there used to be a very solid, strong middle class in New Zealand that basically used to keep New Zealand pumping and New Zealand operating. The middle class has been squeezed, and you're either poor or you're rich, and very little in between.
Yeah, and that's true. And it's been, and I do believe that poverty has become entrenched really in New Zealand in the last 30 years. And I have to say that it tends to be the tamariki that suffer the most through that. And if we're not careful, we could lose. And it's very hard later on to try and pull that back. Now, finally, can I just ask you, the latest poll, it's lovely to talk to you anyway, Shane, because we could talk all night, couldn't we?
Always lovely, yeah.
Now, the latest poll has, you know, has put the Te Pāti Māori, I think they've just gone up 1 point. This is in terms of the party vote, 1 point something. So they're on about 3.5%. Of the party vote, and there is this notion that they may well be the kingmaker. They have that role. I'm not sure whether that it's too early to say. Who knows? But that would be that would certainly be a turn up for the books, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and look, I've got one prediction to make 5 months out from the election that is going to be very close, and I'm talking about the left-right bloc. And you'd have to say. Now that the National Party has ruled the Te Pāti Māori out, that they're firmly in the left bloc, so it'll be, you know, perhaps them, the Greens and Labour, versus National and ACT. And I think that at this point in time, Te Pāti Māori are looking as the prime kingmaker out of all of this. But let's not rule out Winston. His party is up at 3%, but what the Māori Party have that New Zealand First don't have is that they have at least one seat in Parliament, and I think they'll hold Wairiki, absolutely they'll hold Wairiki, and more than a fighting chance of winning Taitaiahauru, and of course now with Mika defecting to Te Pāti Māori, Ikorairawhiti is in place, so I think the Māori Party is in the prime position to decide who will govern come October the 14th. But you know what, Merepeka, perhaps what they'll do is they'll sit on the crossbenches and they might support Labour, for instance, on supply and confidence issues, but in terms of each policy will be negotiated as it plays. And so I think we might see a different form of government come this election, where Te Pāti Māori sits on the crossbenches and supports each policy as it gets passed through the House. So I think that would be a very different way of governing and a very nuanced way, but quite the possibility.
Well, it will be, and it will be an interesting possibility, because irrespective of where the policy is coming from, if it's good policy, if it has the potential to make a difference for whānau and all New Zealanders, then why wouldn't you want to support it? So, yes, that could shape up to be something new, something different, because, and you and I know, Shane, that if you come in as a coalition partner, as a minor partner in a coalition government, then you get crunched and really and people don't really have much time for you, to be honest, do they?
No, yeah, well, that's right, Merepeka. You look at Peter Dunn's United Future, whatever it was called. You look at the first alliteration of the Māori Party. Look at New Zealand First. Even the Greens are sort of suffering. If you're an add-on in terms of a coalition party, often the electors take it out on you at the next election. And I think that John Tamaere, Rāwiri Waititi and Debbie are far too smart to play that game. I think you're going to see different cards being delivered at the coalition talks. And although Luxon has ruled out Te Pāti Māori, the reality is if they are the difference between him being Prime Minister or not, he will have no choice but to have a kōrero to them, but to try and make some... Sort of deal, because I can tell you what, he won't forsake that those negotiations at the risk of not being the Prime Minister. If he has half a chance, he'll take it.
Yeah. I'm sure, yes. Well, you know, the ambition is there. And so I suppose at the end of the day, everybody sits down and say, well, how can we make it happen?